This WBEZ podcast is supported by The Auditorium, presenting Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, April 24th through the 26th. Experience the power, passion, and athleticism under the direction of newly appointed artistic director, Alicia Graf Mack. Plus, five Chicago premieres showcasing the bold innovation and artistry that have made Alvin a global cultural treasure. Tickets at auditoriumtheater.org.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. One of my favorite things about experiencing art in the city the last couple years is that it's multimedia based. You know, art that has all kinds of different content. Photos, paintings, audio, dance, text. There's so many exhibits and installations like this. That traveling immersive Van Gogh exhibit you might have heard about, multimedia. The Astor Gates new show on the Johnson Publishing Company, multimedia. A pair of exhibits at the Hyde Park Arts Center that we've talked about on the show recently, from Candace Hunter and Robert Earl Page, both multimedia. I could go on and on. I mean, don't even get me started on the Wonder Museum. It's feeling like a thing now. Activate as many of the five senses as you can in as many ways as possible. It's so much of a thing that I asked a curator at one of Chicago's most prominent museums if multimedia art was something that she, like, actively seeks when she's curating.
You know, that's an interesting question. I'm not sure if it's a curatorial focus of ours at the museum or if it's just reflective of contemporary practice today. You know, so many artists are multidisciplinary in what they do and gravitate towards whatever means necessary to get their ideas across. And oftentimes it's drawing on dance or video or textually based work. And I really try to follow the lead of the artist in that regard.
This is Laura Page Kiber. She's the performance curator at the Museum of Contemporary Art here in Chicago. And what she's saying is that multimedia art is kind of just what the kids are up to these days. And what the MCA is doing this weekend is very much on brand. It's a four-day event they call Chicago Performs.
Chicago Performs is a mini festival that happens every year now at the Museum of Contemporary Art. Each year, it just features a cross-section of contemporary performance works being made in Chicago, and hopefully to introduce them into a more national spotlight, which the museum can provide.
This year, the Chicago Performs Festival starts on Thursday, and it includes interactive performances from a few Chicago-based artists. Kat Mahari, Lakshmi Ramgopal, who leads a collective called Lycanthia, and Every House Has a Door. As for that last one, Every House Has a Door, Laura says she knew a little bit about them, but a few years ago, she set out to learn more.
And what I found out is they have a huge impact on the city as educators, as performance makers. I feel like there's an entire kind of sector of performance artists here in the city who have been inspired by their work. And to me, they really represent, you know, if you're going to come to Chicago and get to know Chicago's performance community, they are one of those that in many ways defines the words Chicago performs for me.
What a compliment.
I'm in charge of breakfast. Matthew's in charge of dinner.
Lynn Hickson and Matthew Gulish are the creators of Every House Has a Door.
We are married.
Okay.
But we also have been working together as artists since 1987.
We're partners in art and life.
All right. I love that. Great way to put it. Lynn is the director and Matthew is the dramaturg.
I think of the dramaturg as a sort of idea generator, possible choreographic ideas, spatial ideas, structural ideas. And then Lynn, the director, has the final say on everything and what gets in front of an audience and how. And so I'm not very good judge of whether the ideas I come up with are good or not. I just list them and then Lynn gets to, it's like a grocery list, you know, or a menu at a restaurant, even better.
Okay. The show they're putting on this weekend is called Broken Aquarium. What you're hearing right now is some of the music from a previous performance of Broken Aquarium at the Humboldt Park Boathouse. And in the show, they're using textiles and poetry, dance, and water, actual water, to show some of the intricacies of a, quote, impossible ecosystem of endangered or extinct sea creatures. It's a show about how the Earth is changing and how that can be a foundation for human transformation. Ahead of their performance this weekend, I talked to them about the many mediums they're working in and the message they're putting across. Lynn, Matthew, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's so good to be here. Thank you, Aaron.
So if I've never heard of Broken Aquarium and you want to give me a sense of what I'm about to see, what would you say? Matthew, do you want to describe it?
Lynn? We can do that together, okay. But Matthew can start.
Where do we start?
Well, first of all, it is introduced with a text, and that is done by Matthew, who gives one a way into the performance through the text. And then what follows, I think in some ways you could think of like sitting at a park and watching people absorbed in these activities as if you were people watching, except these are sea creatures that are endangered. And so they're moving through this very specific space at the MCA, which is outdoors, in these fantastic costumes mm-hmm. that are designed by Essi Kazalainen, who is a Finnish artist. The costumes really are like body habitats. They're like fabric events. Mm-hmm. So each performer researched their particular endangered creature. And habitats are very important in relation to endangerment. Oftentimes it's the habitat that is causing the sea creature to become extinct or endangered. Mm-hmm. So you might think of it as a story in some ways being told, but not from a character. It's more from the place. And there is an important word in here that's broken. Mm-hmm. Maybe Matthew can talk to the idea of a broken.
Well, first, this performance is one in the cycle of performances that takes its title from Camille Saint-Saëns' 1886 musical suite for children, Carnival of the Animals. The music, of which we're not using, but really just the titles of the movements, because they're great, whimsical ways of thinking about the natural world, devised for children. And one of those titles is Aquarium. And so we were making, in the process of making, a fairly, for us, large-scale performance, collaborating with Essi, sharing our interest in the non-human world. And the pandemic interrupted the premiere of that performance. And it became clear to us and to most people mm-hmm. in the arts as the months went on that that performance would never happen. Mm. And it never has happened. But as we were coming out of the pandemic, we decided to save the fragmented parts of the original Aquarium. Mm. And we called that performance Broken Aquarium. Mm-hmm. And in doing that, we also thought we had to reconceive the idea of the performance event in a way that people could feel safe post-pandemic. Mm-hmm. Thus, the idea of doing it outdoors, but still treating it as a sort of focused theatrical event, but an interruptible, porous one.
Yeah,
you know, as any outdoor performance will be.
I saw a video of a past performance that you did very appropriately. It started raining during the performance. Thankfully, you were up under a covering, but it just was, as I said, so appropriate. You talked about the costume design. I couldn't help but notice how abstract, but also very realist they were at the same time. One of my favorite costumes was the first character, the eyelash seaweed. I wonder, Matthew, if you can read the introduction, which is a poem that tells the audience who this character is.
I would love to. Thank you, Aaron. Eyelash seaweed is performed by Elise Cowan, a dancer. To introduce her, this is what I say. Eyelash seaweed. Marine red alga, the length and thickness of a human eyelash, thread-like, spiraling, with no front or back, one of the oldest plants in the ocean. You dance in place, only on the shaded side of boulders off the eastern coast of New Zealand's South Island, exposed during lowest tides. Eyelash seaweed, are you already extinct? The 2016 Kaikoura earthquake lifted the seabed there, and nobody has seen you since. Opening and shutting yourself like an injured fan, we will keep looking for you.
And then there she is, right there in costume.
And could I say one thing about the piece I just read? Very briefly.
Absolutely.
Because I think there might, I don't want to be accused of plagiarism by the poets in the audience, because there is a line in there from a Marion Moore poem that's called The Fish. And that line is opening and shutting itself like an injured fan, where she was describing a mussel shell. And this is credited, she's credited in the program, but in a sense that textual introduction is also a kind of performance that draws from different sources and quotes different poets.
You're using poems like the one that you just read to illustrate each character. There's a polyp that I really love. You know what? Let's talk about the polyp, because the polyp is a small person.
There's now three of them.
Okay.
There was one in the performance you saw, but now there's going to be three.
Okay.
Yes.
So I know that the original kind of song that inspired this was for children, but I mean, are you hoping that this is a multi-generational kind of experience as well?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think it's a very family-friendly performance.
Yeah.
I like to say that our work, in a sense, uses the conventions of theater, but allows them to be unstable in the way that they always are already.
Okay.
For example, putting people of different age, putting children in certain roles.
Sure.
And so when young people appear on a stage doing sort of grown-up material, it's not a children's play. It's like an adult play, but it's unstable in that way. Because you, in a sense, as an audience, you think that could be me up there. I'm identifying with these people. I recognize them. I see myself in them.
Sure.
I'm also a little bit worried about them. Are they going to get through it? Are they going to be able to do it? Is it going to fall apart? Is it going to hold together?
Are they extinct?
Are they?
Yeah. Tell me about deciding to make some parts more overt, like, we're going to use this poem to introduce these characters. We're going to dress them up. You're going to know what's happening here, versus leaving some pieces more opaque, more up for interpretation.
Well, I really love concrete, clear things, because my experience is the unknown always clings to the known. So there's always unknown things.
Sure.
I mean, that's how I find that in life, too. But in making work, it's sitting alongside. And I actually, in making a piece, I'm not really comfortable until I get to a place where I don't understand it. So
okay.
that's kind of basic, because then the performance becomes one of discovery. And honestly, yes. I never fully understand it. So for me, it's important to let the unknown sit alongside the known thing of like the concrete things that Matthew does at the beginning. And it just continues because, you know, we're outside, we're co-composing with the site.
Yeah.
There's a hospital nearby, there's ambulances coming in, there's noises, there's all these, and we want to let that into the experience.
Mm-hmm. So for the performance that I saw, at some point, there's a pop can, a soda can that comes into play, which is kind of like a reminder that humans interact, right, with these creatures and these living things that are in this aquarium, in this broken aquarium. And I wonder if there's a message that you want people to walk away with when it comes to the interaction between humans and non-humans.
You know, to be honest, I don't really think about message specifically. I really appreciate that question. But maybe I think more about giving viewers permission. Matthew sometimes talks about this performance as whispering. And if there's anything, it's not so much about how do we make the world a better place, but how can the world make us a better place, and listening to that. So with this idea of whispering, it's a kind of permission to listen and to come from that position. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm interested in lived experience, and so hopefully we arrive together at the end of the performance having lived something together also as a group.
Thank you. I closed my eyes and envisioned the performance and, yeah, really tried to think about it that way. Yeah, I like the way you put that. Matthew, would you add anything?
Well, I mean, I suppose. I think that the hospitality of performance is the sort of something counterintuitive about it, because it's very important to me that it gives me, when I go to a performance, gives me a chance to forget, to escape myself for a while. To enter into some other sort of world. But then I sort of come back to myself in an unexpected way. Mm. Lynn talks about when the performance ends that there's a sort of sense of arrival, that we've done something together. And I think to engage that kind of mystery, you need, as Lynn was saying, a certain degree of concreteness. Like you need to know exactly what the subject is, but also how the subject is a sort of problem that maybe perplexes the soul. Like, what do I do? One of the things I say in the introduction, which is a line borrowed from the great novelist Richard Powers, how do the stories we tell become part of the problem? So when we think about ecological disasters, what's perplexing about them is that we can't think about them. Our stories don't allow it. Our stories aren't big enough to encompass what's happening to the earth. And so in a sense, there is a kind of acceptance and a shrinking of yourself in relation to the scale of the problem. At the same time, a way of escaping from story as a solution and maybe looking to other forms. And finally, I think a sense of companionship between each other as humans and between us and these creatures, that we can think about them as sort of guardians of some sort, that they are protecting us if we let them, as well as we can protect them. And so I think at the end of the performance, I would like people to feel a kind of sense of homecoming, that they've returned to something familiar, some sort of sense of empowerment in their own selves in relation to the earth, and maybe joy and happiness as an unexpected byproduct of that empowerment.
Mm-hmm. Matthew Gulish is the dramaturg at Every House Has a Door. Matthew, thank you.
Thank you.
And Lynn Hixon is the director of Every House Has a Door. Lynn, thank you.
Thank you.
Chicago Performs is this Thursday through Sunday at the Museum of Contemporary Art. Performances of Broken Aquarium are on Saturday and Sunday afternoon. You can get more information at mcachicago.org. And that's it for today. Justin Bull and I produce The Rundown. Ariel Van Cleve is our editor and executive producer. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you on Friday.